Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. You've done it all. You've walked the tightrope of success and accomplished so much in your career. Now what? How do you keep redefining your success and expanding your emotional well-being? Join us to hear talk on mindset, motivation, and your growth in handling the challenges you've experienced both in circumstances and with yourself as a leader. Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders with your host, Tracy Crossley.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. And today I have with me Marilyn Aloria. Hey, Marilyn.
Hi, Tracy.
I am so happy you are here.
Me too.
Okay, so let me tell everybody a little bit about you so then they know who you are if they're not familiar. Marilyn is a gifted psychic medium, teacher, and author of the book Guides, Mystical Connections with Soul Guides and Divine Teachers. She has an unmatched capacity to ignite deep soul-level transformation for her clients around the world. As the creator of Soul Finder Academy and Membership for Your Soul, she's given us a clear action plan for developing our talents, following our purpose, fulfilling our dreams, and living in alignment with our souls. Marilyn teaches spirituality in a way that leads to a practical, meaningful, and joyous life. I believe this. No unicorns, flying carpets, or impossible routines required. You mean you don't have to get up in the morning and do like a whole ceremony or anything like that?
Yeah, exactly. No, you don't. You could just live your life. What a surprise.
Oh my God. Okay. So after a successful Emmy Award winning career in the entertainment industry with MTV and NBC Olympics, Marilyn shifted her focus to sharing her natural gifts and helping others discover their own intuitive abilities. As a psychic medium, healer, teacher, author, and speaker, she lights up audiences around the world, delivering the training and guidance needed to succeed, thrive, and prosper. So, and we'll talk about where you can find Marilyn and all that good stuff at the end. So Marilyn, I love Marilyn.
That's a freaking old bio. So by the way, like those are programs that I don't even do anymore.
I was thinking that.
I know. I'm like, oh shoot, I sent the wrong bio or somebody sent the wrong bio. But anyway, it's Next Level Living, you know, is what the program I'm doing.
I was thinking that as I was reading it, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm going to get to that part. But then I looked and I'm like, oh, there isn't that part. Oh, whoopsies. But
it just goes to show when you're like doing so many things in your business, you know, some things just have to go in the back burner when you're reorganizing everything.
Well, the beauty of all of this is you have this thing called a website that they can go to.
Yes.
I always say that. Yeah. Whenever somebody says, where can they find you? I'm like, just go to my website. It has everything there. All my social media links, all that stuff. So yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, Marilyn, I'm going to ask you the question of the hour and the hour being now. All right. So when you were a little girl, what did you want to do when you grew up? What did you want to be?
I wanted to be an actress. Mm-hmm. I actually teach this in my SAS pillar system, which is subconscious thinking, alignment with your soul, soul recognition, and synchronicity. And in the alignment part, I teach people to go back to what they wanted to be when they were younger. Because many people focus on the fact that they're not doing what they want to be doing or they wanted to do or thought they were supposed to do. But in actuality, the character traits, they are doing it today. So I wanted to be an actress. I pursued it. I became an actress. And then I realized I didn't want to be an actress. I wanted to be a storyteller, motivate people through story. I wanted to make people laugh. I wanted to entertain people. And I love doing it through spiritual teaching. So that's the answer. You didn't ask the question, but that's what I gave you.
Okay. Well, that's fine. So of course I'm like, but there had to be a series of events or something that happened that made you think, okay, I don't want to follow this as my career path anymore. And this is really calling to me. Was there, you know, something that happened in your career or personally that made you decide that?
Yeah, I think I'll start out even before that. So I wanted to be an actress. Nobody believed in me around me. And I was growing up in a lot of crappy atmosphere, like a lot of people can relate to. And so I went behind the scenes in TV because that was safer. You can do that. You know, you can't be an actress. And while I was behind the scenes, I was miserable and I went to therapy. And the therapist suggested I start taking improv classes. And while I was taking those classes, I was like, wow, the teacher was like, you're really good at this. And I was like, you know what? I want to do it. So I left television to become an actress and I got the lead in an off-Broadway play right away. And I was doing independent films. And during that time, my psychic mediumship abilities started opening even more. And I just started working on it and learning about it because it was making me a little bit crazy. You know, I was like, I'm seeing people, I'm hearing things. And I was already in therapy. They knew I didn't have a psychosis, you know? Mm-hmm. So through my pursuit of studying metaphysical arts or spiritual things and growing my own soul, I discovered all these other gifts I had. And I discovered that I enjoyed reading people and teaching more than I liked acting. I didn't want to be someone else anymore. I only wanted to be myself. So I was leaving my house to go be in a film. And I was working on a murder case as a medium. I was talking to the ghost. And I was like, I don't want to go do that film. And that was the moment that I knew I was done with acting and I was ready to go full time in the career I'm in now.
That's pretty incredible. I mean, most people don't find their path that way, right? Most people aren't necessarily having something good because obviously if you were focused on acting and here you are in a film, it looks like it's working.
Yeah.
And then, so what was it that you felt was missing, or was it just the juxtaposition of it? Like, what was that?
You know, I think before I answer that, I want to also say every career I've had, Tracy, I followed through inspiration. It was something I just wanted to learn to do. I didn't know that it was going to be a career. Like, I went to college and I was an accountant major. My brother's like, don't do that. And I just studied TV communication, not knowing anything about it. And then I did an internship and then MTV hired me. And I was like, this is great. So, and then when I just acting, I was doing improv classes and then I was like, wait, this is great. And then with psychic work, I was studying tarot and all these different things. And I was like, this is amazing. And I think for me, everything moved me closer to alignment with my soul, alignment with who I truly am. And that being something other than that was too uncomfortable. I had to live in my truth. So when I was leaving to do the short film, it was a short film. I was like, this no longer excites me. I'm not passionate about this. I don't care about it. I only care about this other work I've discovered. And I want to do that work.
I love that. So for people listening, you said something that I think is important about knowing your true self, you know, listening to your soul, basically. Like, what is that experience like for people who don't know what that is?
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel like there's two ways this can come about. Somebody says something to you. Like, I remember going for a reading. I don't go for readings anymore. And I went to a reading and he was telling me, you're a medium, you're a psychic, you're a clairaudient, you're all these things. And I was just crying. And he said, people don't get to sit with their truths very often. That's why you're crying. This is your truth. So I feel like for people who are having a hard time distinguishing, it's that moment where it just feels right, where you just feel like things are good. If it excites you a bit, you feel like it's something you want to pursue. It just feels, you know what it feels like to me? It feels clean. That's the best way to describe it. It just feels like it fits your body. And you don't know how you're going to do it. People are going to struggle with that, but that's all part of this life's journey. But the fact that you're just thinking, I want to be a writer, and that feels good, that's what you follow. Because you have no idea where it'll take you.
Now, I think that we live with this idea of we need certainty. Yeah. And there really isn't such a thing as certainty.
No.
So in your case, you took a risk because, you know, I'm thinking this sounds great. And I want to really paint a real picture too, because I don't want people thinking, oh my God, it is like flying unicorns. She decided that and everything was magical after that moment, because it wasn't, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've gone through different challenges. And so initially, what were some of the challenges you found for yourself?
I feel like with acting, it was insecurity, an incredible amount of insecurity that came up, self-doubt, lack of self-worth. But I was doing a lot of therapeutic work. I was in a lot of therapy at the time, which really helped me. And it really, I really feel like anybody, whether you want to be an actor or not, take an acting class, take an improv class, because standing in front of a bunch of people and flubbing your lines or making a fool out of yourself or missing your mark really teaches you how to get up again. You fall down and get up again. So I remember, let's go to an acting story real quick. I left NBC Olympics. I won an Emmy. They just got all the other contracts for the next 10 years and they wanted to keep me on. They were like, we want to keep you. Will you stay? And I was like, no, I'm going to pursue acting now. I'm leaving. And I went and did the showcase. It was one of the first things I did, an acting showcase. And it was filled with casting directors and really high level people. And I bombed. I was awful, horrible. And I'll never forget, my friend was there and we went out to eat after and I was crying my eyes out. And I'm like, what did I just do? I just left a career, a successful career. And I was horrendous. Can I even do this? And she said, Marilyn, it's one play. It's only one thing in your life. And I think it's really important to have those people around you in your life to, like you said, there's no certainty, but also have somebody sit there and really show a mirror. Like, this is not the end of the world. This is just part of the journey. And they're all character building moments.
Right. So I'm curious, because as an entrepreneur, most people as small children are going, oh, I want to grow up and be an entrepreneur. And obviously that is the road that you ended up on by making that choice. So have, you know, when you look at your business, right? Because how many years have you been in business now?
17 years now, I feel almost. Yeah.
Okay. 17 years. And in that 17 year period, you know, what are some of the obstacles that, you know, and I keep coming back to obstacles because I think we always paint a pretty picture. Yeah, they are. You know, it's the things that you've been through, the days where you've been like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And then you keep doing it. Right. And so, you know, with your business, because it's transitioned, because when you first started it, were you just doing readings? Like, I'm not even sure. So
first of all, let's say obstacles are super important for people to hear because they're only seeing the beautiful little rainbows out there. I made 100K yesterday and everything's great. And it's so not true because you don't know what the person put into to make that 100K. That 100K now has to last for how long? So I think it's really important that you're addressing obstacles so that people can start giving a true picture of what it is like to be an entrepreneur. I started out doing readings, but I was also teaching right off the bat too, because I enjoyed it. I was very good at it. I'm really good at gathering people and communities and teaching them things. But my readings were my main thing. I was making really good money from it. I was booked. I would only allow myself to be booked for 6 months, not a year. I was booked for 6 months with a waiting list upon a waiting list. So I was in an incredible place and I ended up after a while hating it. I could not stand it anymore. It was exhausting me. I was tired of people coming to me with their huge life problems and putting all their life problems in my hands. And I really wanted to teach people how to do it for themselves. So that they didn't depend on someone else to empower them. They could empower themselves. And I made a decision to walk away from one-on-one readings and create my membership program at the time, right? And it was the scariest moment, Tracy, because I was literally closing the door on my income and opening a door to another type of income, and I didn't know if I would succeed. And I was waking up every night frozen in anxiety, so scared. I would go to, you know, I play a lot of tennis. I was going to the tennis court like, holy F, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay my bills, my mortgage. What am I going to do? And again, I had a good friend of mine say to me, go watch this video, go do this. And she just kind of walked me through it. She's like, we've all been there. I've been there. You're going to be okay. And I just took those necessary steps to get me through the anxious moments, did a launch, and made recurring income what I was making and one-on-one reading. So I was able to shut the door to one-on-one reading. So it worked out. But as you know, I just went through this again.
Right.
So these are the iterations that you go through.
You know, it's so interesting because that brings up a thought in my mind, and that is how many of us stick with something because of the income rather than following what our next steps could be because of the risk or the fear factor of what may happen. And so for you, obviously, you know, that's pretty courageous to do that, because most people would be like, well, I can't do that. Like you said, you named off the things that you have to pay for. You have a life. And then now you're going, well, guess what? I'm going to the next level. And I'm talking about not just people that are entrepreneurs. I'm talking about people in corporate, right?
Yeah.
I've got to keep climbing the ladder, because if I don't keep climbing the ladder, I don't know who I am, or I don't know where I'm going, or, you know, whatever it is you feel like you're going to lose. So what would you say to that?
Yeah. And I'm getting a lot of those people now in Next Level Living, because those are the people I'm helping, the people that have been in a career that they did really well in, they're great at it, but they know through their life experiences, they have another mission inside of them and they have to see it through. And it's very hard to leave that corporate job when you're making multiple six figures, even more. You have, you know, you have great retirement, but they're depleted. They're not feeling it any longer. So those people, I invite them into exploring what life can be like after retirement, like now. Don't wait until retirement. Start getting into what your mission is now. Start getting into what your soul is asking you to do. Start doing it. Start building that life. Because what happens is, like, I'm working with one woman right now who is like a VP in HR, and she has a mission based on her life experience of a child with special needs and different things. And she's just starting, she's doing the things she really loves to do. And she's able to see that this can work. And her heart and soul are just like, you know, she's excited. She's passionate about it. So that is proof. It's not a pipe dream. It's like putting it into action. You see the proof, and then you want to keep following it through.
I love that. Yeah. I think that for most of us, we get stuck, and this is something that, you know, I work with people on. We get stuck in what the circumstances outside of us are. And so we're so externally reactive and externally motivated, and everything's about what's out here rather than what's in here. And to make that switch is a risk in and of itself, because most people are afraid to find out what's happening inside of me. What is wanting to come out, right?
Yeah. And will I be successful at it? And it's the golden handcuffs too.
I think
it's very scary for people. I feel like there's a different rule. There's different people. There's people who've been working on themselves during this period while they're in the corporate jobs. It's an easier transition for them because they've already opened that door into, they're not happy. They're recognizing they're not happy, and they're starting to apply tools to it. And then there's the person who knows they're not happy, but is just too afraid to look inside, period, end of story.
Yeah. Yeah. I run across those people all the time, you know, and really what they want is a promise that's going to be okay. Even in working with me as a female leader, it's like, okay, but I need to know that my revenue is going to grow, the productivity, all of these things. And it does for a while, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be with what you're doing now. Maybe you decide to change course, and that's okay. Because wouldn't the worst thing, I think, for me, if I got to be, you know, the day of, that I die, and I look back and I'm like, holy shit, I stayed at a job I wasn't happy with for the last 30, whatever years, 40 years, whatever it happens to be. And I did it, and I wasted my life because I didn't get to go have the experiences that I really wanted to inside of me.
Yeah, I was just rewriting the product page for Next Level Living, and that's a big thing. They're all afraid of dying with the song still in them, and then they realize they didn't pursue what they wanted to pursue. And when I bought this house up in Northern California, I was out on my deck, which looks at beautiful trees, and my first boss from TV came to visit me, and she was standing out on the deck, and she looked at the trees, she looked at me, she looked at the trees, she looked back at me, and she was like, how did you do this? Because I escaped TV. I mean, I was already succeeding at such an early age. And she stayed in it, and she didn't know how to get out now. And in that moment, I recognized so many people are in the same place. And the other thing I would say, people that are in that place who are looking to get out, start doing things that you love, and it'll show you the way. And you're right, Tracy. They don't think they can make the same amount of money. They can actually make more. Because there's no limitation. There's no salary. This is just the salary. This is the percentage raise. There's so much more that they can make.
I agree with that. So at the same time, let's talk a minute about that scarcity, because that's a word, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with the word abundance, because I just think that it's overused and it's, people don't really understand what that means. But scarcity, you know, a lot of us think there's scarce resources. There's not enough money. There's not enough time. There's not enough anything, right? There's not enough good people. There won't be enough clients. There won't be enough business for me. You know, especially with, you know, the drama of the news cycle saying, hey, we're going into another recession or what have you, right? What would you say to that as far as anybody who, let's say, is starting out from corporate to entrepreneurship or is an entrepreneur? Maybe they're just having a hard time and they've been doing it for years. What would you say to that?
Yeah, so don't focus on scarcity. It sounds simple and it sounds stupid, but you have to focus on solution. And I just wrote a quote the other day. It says, what if every problem was the solution? So it's a mindset shift. And for me, when scarcity is hitting me and fear and anxiety and the check, you know, as an entrepreneur, your income's going up and down until you hit a certain place where maybe you're rinsing, repeating, and scaling. You have to be able to just continue to think, what do I need to do to get people to get and talk to people, to make sales, to make offers, you know, in integrity with what you want to do. You can't look at the scarcity. The solution isn't in scarcity. The solution is in what is the scarcity telling me at the moment? Usually I have a conversation with it. What am I afraid of? And what action do I need to take in order to move this forward, to get out of scarcity?
I think that's a hard one, because I think for people don't understand that, you know, I remember years ago, I don't know who it was that was talking, but they were talking about the law of attraction as an example. And they were basically saying, you know, you have to fake it till you make it. Like, you have to act like you have, you know, $20 million in the bank or whatever. But there is a truth in it, I believe, of what would you do if you didn't have that fear of scarcity, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think fake it till you make it, I don't get into that either. I'm the same way with you about abundance, but it's the feeling. Like, what would it feel like? Okay, what actions would you be taking? Who would you be today? What do you need to do? What courage would you have? What confidence would you have? Last year, for 6 months, I didn't make any offers. I couldn't sell anything. I didn't want to sell anything. So no wonder why sales really dropped. And there was nothing I could do, because the product I had, I did not want to sell. The product I was selling, Next Level Living, was a new product. So I wasn't really, like, I was still working with the people in there and we were seeing results, but I wasn't yet ready to go out. But I had to honor myself. So for people who are struggling with this, what helps is watching other successful people that are truthful about their journey. And really learning from them what they did in the moments when they hit the ground and things got really scary, and what they did, and then taking those types of actions myself. That's what helped me. Like, someone said to me, well, if you're not making offers, you're not going to make sales. And I'm like, oh my goodness, they're totally right. You know, because before, people were just going and buying, but it shifted.
Right. And I think that that's something too, that a lot of us, again, we want that certainty. We want to know that things are staying the same, even when we want things to be different, because we are creatures of habit. But for me, it's always about working with people to break down those habits.
I agree.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you look to other people, so there's something about females in general, okay? And it even extends to female leaders. But the idea that constantly comparing yourself, constantly competing, and constantly judging yourself. What do you have to say around that? Because, you know, I have a lot to say around it, but I would love to hear what you have to say around it.
Well, I'd like to hear what you have to say around it. For me, the biggest thing that's happened for me is working on my own confidence. So when I'm comparing, I don't really do a lot of comparison stuff anymore. I've kind of like let go of that stuff. But it comes up every now and then, you know, and I'll be like, why is that? It really, you know, when it bothers me, Tracy, when the person is inauthentic and people are buying into it, that's when I get a little bit. But comparison energy really is an acknowledgement of what I need to shift inside myself. If I'm comparing myself to someone else and I'm feeling jealous and I'm feeling envious, then what do I need to do in order to raise the stakes for myself and become what I want to be? Instead of feeling, because there's not scarcity in this universe. There's so much money in this universe that we could be made.
Right.
And we like so that's me. Like, if I'm looking at someone else and I'm looking at their success and I'm like, why are they having that success and I'm not? Well, then I have to take responsibility in my life. What aren't I doing to create the success in my life? I think that answers it.
I think so, because it's always coming from a state of lack when you're comparing yourself. And you're feeling less than. That's your state of lack. That's your scarcity. And that's inside of you. And I always feel like most of us don't want to look at that. We try to overcompensate, which is not what you're saying. We don't, you know, you don't want to overcompensate. Oh, I need to look at this. Yes, but you need to actually do something that isn't about trying to make yourself better. It's just maybe doing it in a way that actually works better for you.
Yeah, you know, something for me, what I've been noticing coming up lately is insecurity. I've really been recognizing, seeing my insecurity in moments and in reference to what you just said. And when my insecurity comes up, I'm conscious of it. It's really important to be conscious of those beliefs that are driving the ship that are working against you. And that's like the first pillar in the SAS experience is subconscious thinking. So I notice, like, if say I have new students in Next Level Living, and they're incredible people in there, like scientists, vets. So I feel insecure for a moment teaching them. I will not allowed to bring that into the class. I will not bring that into the class, but I'm able to walk away and go, why am I feeling insecure? Why am I not feeling worthy at this moment? Where am I feeling like I'm lacking? What can I do to take care of myself right now? And it's not false ego. It's right. Building a foundation of what do I need to improve? What do I need to learn? Where do I need to educate myself? What do I need to heal mm-hmm. in order to feel more confident?
Yeah.
And that's my work and that's what I do. And then those insecure moments, they go away, which is great. I think we're always going to have insecure moments. People think they're ready for the great opportunity. And then the great opportunity comes. And a lot of people sabotage those great opportunities. They're not ready for it.
I know. And then they want to blame something else. And that's the other thing is you want to be sure that you're taking responsibility, that you're not blaming somebody or something else. Well, this happened or that happened, but it's really, well, what were your actions? And did you pivot or did you, you know, make a different choice? Did you do something or did you just go along with it and crash and burn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true. And I look at every moment as a character building moment. Like I just last week were, you know, recording this March 14, 2023. I always say the time because I like to do an ending, a period. It doesn't matter. You don't need to know why. It's my own little psychic mediumship work. But I had a hard week last week. It was really hard. Two things at once. And I was really shaken up. And I was like, oh, what do I need to do? And then I heard my inner voice say, this is teaching you something incredible. What is it teaching you in this moment? This is bringing you to your greatness. What can you do with this experience right now so that it can carry you into your greatness? And that's a different perspective. And you get to sit with it instead of in fear. You get to dissect it and figure out, what can I do? And in one thing, I had to stand in the power of my policies. And in the other one, I had to be direct with people, but I also had to agree to compromise. You're talking about leadership, right, Tracy?
Yeah.
These are roles of leaders, right? How do you, you know this, we've talked about this, being a CEO in your own business, these are moments where I'm like really challenged, like I've got to be a leader now. How am I going to be a leader?
Mm-hmm.
It's challenging at times.
Oh yeah, definitely. I don't care what it is you're doing. And the thing that I think is important is not to second guess yourself and to trust yourself, because one thing I've learned in all my long ass years is that a lot of times if you would do that in the first place, even if it's unfamiliar or it feels difficult because it's uncomfortable, because it is different, it's to do that anyway, because the more you trust yourself and realize that no matter what you're doing, I hate to say this, I think we just end up going to the same place. Just, is this going to be a longer road or is it going to be a shorter road? But basically, you know, and you have to trust that inner knowledge.
You're really good at that. Like, so Tracy and I are friends, and Tracy's great at boundaries. You're great at being decisive with things. Like if I bring a problem to you, you're like, nope, this is not okay. And you're very good at that. And that's something, that's a muscle I'm building now, because I recognize sometimes I trust my intuition and I will say no. But then there's something that comes up and is like, are you sure? Are you sure that's a no? Maybe you should take care of this person. Maybe it's this policy, you know, I have strict policies and I'm like, no, this is my policy. So I think you're really good. The decisiveness is very, very good. And it is a muscle that I'm starting to stretch a little bit more, standing in the power of my leadership and saying, and being definitive. And you're right. And sometimes, I don't know, you're great that way. You really do have that muscle really dialed in.
I think it's just because I used to not have that muscle dialed in, and I do, but I think you're really decisive. I do. I mean, I don't live in your head, but as your friend, I absolutely feel that you have been decisive, because I see your decisions all along the way, especially with your business. I don't think we give ourselves enough credit. I think that that's a big part of it.
Thank you for that. I agree with that. You know, where I'm finding indecisiveness is in relationship with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to get stronger with that. And that's where you've been very helpful to me. So anybody who's listening to this, when you're hiring people, firing people, I fired 5 people in a row in like 2 months. That's where I'm learning. And you know, the 2 coaches I hired last year that were horrendous, absolutely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't trust my intuition. I knew I didn't like them. mm-hmm. but thought they had something I didn't, that I needed. I'll never do that again. You are good that way. And that's the muscle I'm getting better at. And I'm usually good at reading people on a personal level, man. I'm the best at it. For some reason in business, you can find, I can find myself in a like, well, maybe they know better. And I'm done with that. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. something you're doing in your work, I just want to say this and then I want to mm-hmm. hear what you say, because I know you're really focused on leadership, which I think is so important. People, no matter what you're running, a multi-million dollar corporation or whatever you're doing, a VP of a company, you're still challenged with things in leadership roles. You don't
I'm nodding my head, yes.
Yeah. It's needed. There needs to be a forum of conversation and learning.
Oh, I definitely agree. And you know, here's the thing too. We have to sometimes have experiences to go, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not doing that again. Nope, not going down that rabbit hole. And what's no. I you know, and I was going to say, like, I think what's really cool is you do get to a point where maybe you start to go down that same road and then you go, I'm not doing it. It's kind of like what you had that moment when you were going to go do that movie and you were, you know, being a psychic medium and, you know, for this dead guy. And I think that what's important is to be graceful with that, because we can be really hard on ourselves mm-hmm. when it comes to this, right? It's like, why don't I know any better? What's wrong with me? But it's not. You sometimes have to go have these experiences.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So true. That's why I said the character building moments. You need the experiences. You're not going to have a, that's why when you keep talking about people want certainty, we are done with certainty. Mm-hmm. The only thing you can be certain about is the choices and decisions you're making in the moment. That's it.
I agree with that. So I would like people to know more about your next level living. So yeah. explain, you know, as much as you can, like what that is, the kind of people that might want to, you know, go ahead and sign up, like share with us, please.
So Next Level Living is a program where I teach people how to really tap into their inner wisdom in a really fun, a good way. Like I have techniques, tools that help you to tap into your inner wisdom using psychic gifts, innate gifts, whether you, everybody has them. So it could be clairvoyancy, clear seeing, it'd be clairaudience, clear hearing, but you're basically aligning with your soul. You're tapping into your infinite wisdom and you're using it in your business and your business decisions, even in your messaging. So you're not going outside yourself to find out the formulas for your life. You are going inside and finding out what formula you need to live by, or what techniques and tools are going to work for you. So that's basically Next Level Living. It attracts people from all walks of life, vets, scientists, authors, all different types of people, because they're recognizing that they have this intuition that just needs to be fired up and they can live by it. And it really shifts the way you see the world and the way you are in the world.
I want to clarify one thing with that. So if somebody's psychic, right, they're supposedly in touch with their intuition, this program can still help them, right?
Totally. I have people in there that are want to develop those skills and go even higher with them and grander and expand them. And then I have people who are touching into that, but they aren't even completely delved in. They want to delve into it more. They don't even know what it means. A lot of people don't know what it means until they're in it. And they're like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that the universe was communicating with me in this way and really showing me what steps to take. And now I know how to read that. Now I know it's a whole other language. I call it the symbolic language of your soul, because you're basically reading the language that is written for you and to follow, so that you know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and where to go.
Yeah, I think that's great. I love that. And I, you know, I just always like to expand on things so that people know, okay, this is a program for me. And if you have any questions about that, what should they do? Where should they find you?
And in all honesty, the program's still being built, because it's been running for over a year and everybody signed up for another year because it's so good. But the results, I'm still like tracking them. So I'm rewriting it. So definitely email us at info@marilynalloria.com. And if you have any questions, we don't do pushy sales. We really get into conversation with people, and not everybody can join. There's an application process and there's a reason for that, but definitely come check it out.
I love that. I think it's important to be, what's the word? I don't want to say picky, but I think it's good, because you always want to make sure your group has that group integrity where everybody, you know, can learn from each other.
Yeah, it's the group integrity. And also, and I didn't tell people how they can find it, which I'll tell them in a second. It's the group integrity, but it's also for me, I have other programs And sometimes people aren't ready to step into that. And I don't want them to have a bad experience spending money and have a bad experience. I want them really being ready for it. So it's, you know, if they're not ready for it, there's Soul Finder Academy. There's other programs that I have that can get them ready for it. Or maybe they need to go out and live their life for 6 more months before they're ready for it. Yeah. So if you go to MarilynAloria.com, you'll find all my programs. But Next Level Living is the program that I'm really focused on these days.
Wonderful. So Marilyn, I have loved having you here. Is there anything you wanted to leave the audience with? Is there any last minute tips or information?
Yeah, no, the last thing I would say is if it's in your heart and it's a dream you have, you're meant to live it and pursue it. It may not show up the way that you envision it, but it'll be exactly what you need and it'll feel really good. So just keep going.
I love that. I am so appreciative and I have loved having you here. Absolutely. This has been great. So anyways, everybody, you've heard from Marilyn today, and please look her up and check out her programs, especially the Next Level Living. And I will see you guys next time on another episode. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today. For more information on Tracy and her programs and to set up a discovery session, email business@tracycrossley.com. That's business@tracycrossley.com, and go to tracycrossley.com to get your free download entitled Stop Your Inner Dictator. Thank you for tuning in to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders.